Welcome to Blunt Spring. So praise the name of the Lord this morning. Amen.
God would lead us through that blessed promised land, but he got to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of your name.
Worship a little bit. I like that. Turn with me in your Bibles, Matthew chapter 6, if you haven't already. Fasting could be one of the most mysterious and misunderstood practices of the Christian life. Some believers avoid it altogether. Others practice it, but possibly with the wrong motives. Notice that Jesus doesn't say, if you fast. If you look closely, Jesus says, when you fast. The question I think that's appropriate to ask at the beginning of this is, are we fasting in a way that actually pleases God? As I studied this, I thought, I think it'll be good to see what Google says about fasting. It knows everything, right? So I went to Google, and I found that the top three most popular fasting methods are the 16-8 method, the 5-2 diet, and alternate day fasting. I also found that Christianity is not the only faith that practices fasting. Also, Islam, Judaism, Hinduism, Buddhism, Jainism, and one that I will not entertain you with because it has apostrophes and all kinds of things in it that I don't even know how to pronounce. A lot of information about fasting exists, and not all of it is helpful for us as Christians. The problem that we're going to see today isn't that they were fasting. It's the approach that they had to fasting. It was right here. And that's what Jesus has been teaching us week after week. I don't know if y'all picked up on that or not yet, but everything's about the heart, our true motives for doing anything. Today will be no different. So what does fasting that pleases God actually look like? That's what I wanted to see today. What does it actually look like? In Matthew 6:16-18, Jesus gives us three essentials for fasting that honors God. Jesus will teach us the wrong motive to avoid. Jesus will teach us the right approach to take. And Jesus will also teach us the faithful examples to follow. If you want to practice fasting that pleases God, then you must know the wrong motive to avoid. Look at verse 16. Whenever you fast, do not put on a gloomy face as the hypocrites do, for they neglect their appearance so that they will be noticed by men when they are fasting. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward in full. So the subject, obviously, of today is the word fasting. What does it mean? Here's a definition. Deliberate, temporary, abstaining from food for religious reasons. And playing a key role in our text today is the same characters that have played the past couple of weeks, and that's the hypocrites. Hopefully by now y'all know what a hypocrite is, but it's somebody who misrepresents the truth. Basically, they wear a mask that hides what is real. So what is external is just fake and what they want other people to see. So that's who Jesus is calling out as the negative example, the hypocrites. And in this first, in verse 16, they have two examples that they employ that we can avoid. The first one, put on a gloomy face. So we are to avoid that. So y'all all smile right now. I'm just kidding. This is different. So put on a gloomy face. That's what you need to avoid that. I first noticed the power of the tactic of putting on a gloomy face to get attention when I was in elementary school. It's when I first learned this. We had a little girl who loved attention. She loved the attention of all her little friends, and she usually had it. But this day, she did not have the attention of all of her friends. And I thought, well, isn't this is unusual. So what did she do? Oh, her face was pitiful. It was awful. It was like she had just, her dog had died. And she moped around and moped around. And what I started noticing is this attracted some attention from those little girls that usually around her. They come around and, oh, what's wrong with you? Oh, are you? And then here come another one. Oh, are you okay? Are you okay? And I noticed that as more of the attention came in, her countenance kind of brightened up. And she was, but that gloomy face that she used got the attention of her friends and put her back in the spotlight, which is exactly where she wanted to be in the beginning. So that's the first tactic. A gloomy face can be helpful in that situation. The other is they neglected their appearance. Last week I went to a volleyball game. Now that's not unusual. But I didn't have time to go home and change, and I'd been cutting a little grass. Now I don't know what y'all cut grass in. But I don't put my finest clothes on to go cut grass. I had on my Liberty overalls that have paint stains all over them. And I had on the worst shoes that I own because that's what I like to weed eat in for obvious reasons. I was sweaty. It was time to get to the volleyball game. So I just drove to the volleyball game. Here I am. And I walked into the volleyball game. A stinking, sweaty, nasty mess. And I noticed that quite quickly I had gotten the attention of a lot of the people. It wasn't the volleyball game that they were so much paying attention to. They were paying attention to me. But one person in particular, I absolutely got the attention of. And can you imagine who that one person was? It was my beautiful bride who was so happy to see me at the volleyball game. And she was even happier when I got cold because I was wet and I went out to my truck and I got my Realtree Advantage old button up in my orange toboggan and put on because I wasn't going to sit in there and be cold. You know I ain't going to be cold. Appearances, when you neglect them, which is I think what she would say I was doing was neglecting my appearance, can get the attention of other people. The hypocrites were doing the same thing. And I wasn't trying to get people's attention, by the way. Jesus teaches us that the hypocrites had the wrong motive when they were fasting. What was their motive? Their goal was not to be closer to God, which is what the motive should be. Their goal was to be noticed by men. Look at me. What is the problem? What's the cost of having a look at me motive for fasting? Jesus says, you have your reward in full. So all that attention, the attention that you got from man, congratulations. That's all you're going to get. Applications. Don't fast for the crowd. Don't fast for man. The crowd is the absolute wrong motive for fasting. If you want to practice fasting that pleases God, then you must know the right approach to take. Look at verse 17, really short. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face. I love the simplicity of Jesus' instructions. Can everybody grab a hold of that? Yeah, pretty simple. Two things: anoint your head, wash your face. In Jesus' time, which is far away from where we are today, these two things that he suggested them do were absolutely normal. It's what you would do every single day when you got up. It's like today, brushing your teeth. For those of you blessed to still have hair, combing your hair, putting on clean clothes. Nothing flashy, nothing crazy, just getting up and getting ready. What is Jesus' point, though? Look ordinary. Don't create a bunch of flash. Look like you usually do. Don't advertise your fasting. But that's kind of the external, but I think there's something here. I think it also is saying, get ready to fast as though you were going somewhere that you thought was important. I fail at this, and I hope my wife doesn't amen me, but I don't take her out on dates near enough. I don't. But there's one thing that I always enjoy watching when we do go out. I love to watch her get excited and get ready. I mean, boy, she is excited, and she's picking out those clothes, and she's getting the hair dried on, straightening that hair, and she's in there, she's getting her makeup just right, and she's got the shoes to match her socks, to match her pants, to match her, you know, that's not me, but, you know, I appreciate her being able to do that and do that. But why does she do those things? Why do y'all? It's not just her. Why do you do those things? You're ready. You're excited. You are pumped up about what you're about to do, so therefore you get ready to go and do it. When we're going to fast, we need to get ready. Part of that is mentally up here. The other part is physically. It's two parts. A couple of months ago, I committed to do a 48-hour fast. Up until that time, I'd done a 24. 24 was the longest I had ever went without food, period. But I committed. I said, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do a 48-hour fast. Do you think that I just haphazardly that day, I said, you know what, today's the day I'm going to do a 48-hour fast. I'm going to do it right now. No. I thought about that. I had to prepare. I was thinking, I'm not going to be able to chew on anything for 48 hours. And when you do that, whether it's 4 hours, whether it's an hour, 24, 48, 36, whatever you're going to do, we need to be mentally and physically prepared to do it. Or what? What's the consequence on the other side? You're going to fail. When you fast, get up and get ready mentally because you're breaking habits. Does anybody have a habit of eating breakfast? Nobody? Okay. Wow, that's pretty crazy. Y'all don't eat. Nobody in here eats breakfast. It's a habit. And so when you're fasting, you're not doing that thing. It's a habit. So you're going to have trouble. You're going to have to get past it. So you got to be ready for that. Physically, some of y'all are already feeling it. I see it on your face. What are you feeling right here? Hunger. You have to get ready for that. It's coming, I promise. You're saying, yeah, I know, I'm experiencing it right now. Hurry up. And then spiritually, why spiritually? Because you're drawing near to the Father when you're fasting appropriately. That's the whole goal. We're getting closer to God through fasting. Fasting is not about drawing attention to ourselves. According to Jesus, it's about drawing nearer to God Himself. So don't drag yourself into fasting. Prepare yourself for it. Show up with a clean heart, with a normal appearance, and a quiet spirit ready to experience God. The right approach is to get ready with expectation for God alone. If you want to practice fasting that pleases God, then you must know our third truth, the faithful examples to follow. Look at verse 18. so that your fasting will not be noticed by men, but by your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. So Jesus concludes here, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Fasting that pleases God is not about the methods itself. It's about the heart behind it. What's in here? Our motives. And although that's true, thankfully, Scripture shows us different methods specifically so that we can practically fast. And I have four of them. The first one is the complete fast. The complete fast. We see that in Matthew 4, 1 and 2. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he then became hungry. 40? Let me tell you, I called Andrew because Andrew was kind of my strength in my 48-hour fast. He was my iron sharpened iron. We were kind of texting. He'd text me and say, "You still making it? Have you ate yet?" Whatever. I text him when I got to that 48-hour, and I said, "Buddy, my kitchen's in jeopardy. It better be ready because Philip is headed in that direction." I mean, I was just minutes away, and let me tell you, I went in there and wrecked. Because why? I was hungry. Can you imagine how hungry Jesus was after 40 days? That's a miracle within itself. I don't know if you've really ever thought about that. And I tell you what, if you've never really appreciated this scripture this week, get your heart right and do your fast, and the hunger that'll jump on you, you'll be like, "Man, that's real. 40 days is real." It'll bring color to this passage of Scripture. So Jesus went without food for 40 days. Now, here's what I'm not saying. I know y'all take what y'all want and leave what y'all want with the things that I say, but I'm not telling y'all to go fast for 40 days. Don't you call me this week and be like, "I'm on day 4 and I think I'm going to die." I'm not saying that because ain't none of y'all Jesus, me included. So I'm not telling y'all to go on a 40-day fast. But what I want you to see is it was a complete fast. He went without food completely for 40 days. And what was his reward? He had strength to overcome Satan's temptation and dependence upon God's word alone. That's what we saw right there. That's how he defended it. And that was his reward, the strength of how he went back at the devil. The second fast is a partial fast. We can see it in Daniel 10:3. "I did not eat any tasty food, nor did meat or wine enter my mouth, nor did I use any ointment at all until the entire 3 weeks were completed." So Daniel goes on a 3-week fast, but it's not a complete fast, it's partial. He did eat, but he took some things out of his diet. You see how it's partial? Daniel avoided meat and rich foods, and his reward for his fast was clarity. His reward was wisdom from God in a time where there was a lot of confusion. Our third fast is a corporate fast. What I mean by corporate is I mean a gathering, like we are a corporate gathering of believers this morning. Acts 13, 2 and 3. "While they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, 'Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I've called them.' Then," this is the church, the body of believers, "when they had fasted and they had prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away." You see the combination there? They fasted and they prayed together as a group. And what was their reward? Clear direction from the Holy Spirit and strengthening their brother. Now here's the one we may have a little fun with. I heard a huh. Yeah. Private fast. A private fast. Because that's what we're seeing here in our text today in Matthew 6 is a private fast. This is between you and God. Not all fasting is from food. Sometimes fasting means setting aside things that consume our time and our focus so that we can give our time and our focus back to God. What things of this world could we fast from and instantly have more mental focus to give to God? What? Hold on. Man, that was on the first, that's on the first point. I have five of them for you. And I'm not singling out anybody. All of these except for one can apply to me, and I had removed it some time back. Here's the first one. Social media, or let's just say screens in general. By screens, I mean your phone. Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube. Any of those take any of y'all's time? These platforms consume massive amounts of time and our attention. And I'm not saying it's not all bad. You could be looking at good things. I'm not saying that. It's not all bad things. But when we take a fast from social media and our screens, our reward could be more space for Scripture, for prayer, and our relationships. I'll move on. Y'all are looking mad. Number two, entertainment and streaming. Netflix, Hulu, Amazon Video, sports, video games. All those series. Everything's a series now that takes 4 years to finish, and it seems like you just sit there and watch one right after the other. Shutting these off, even for a season, can shift our hours and hours and days of distraction into another D word, devotion. We can move from distraction to devotion. Number three, food and drink luxuries. Coffee. I won't look back up. Coffee, soda, desserts, fast food, snacks. Let me tell you what happened. Let me just tell you, I like coffee. Amen. I knew I would get an amen out of that. If nothing else. I think it was 12, my something inside my brain that can hurt started just saying, ding, 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 ding. Hey, did you forget about something this morning? Just wanted to let you know. Well, that little dink turned into a dagger about 24 hours, and I was just sitting there going, man, I don't know what's going on inside my brain. If y'all have never taken a fast from caffeine and you're a normal consumer, it's addictive, and your body knows that. It's real, ain't it? I'm not here to preach about coffee, but I'm just saying these things we can become dependent upon, and just taking a little break from them can be helpful. While not a full fast, giving up certain foods or drinks can create constant reminders to turn to God. You take that little thing that you love, that you may enjoy throughout the day, every day. Like, let's say you like a Coca-Cola Classic three times a day, but you say today, no Coca-Cola Classic. Well, at 8 o'clock when you're used to hearing that, guess what you got a reminder of? Might be time to pray a little bit. That's my reminder to pray. 12 o'clock when you crack it again, time to pray again. They can just be a little reminder. I'm not saying you have to do it, just a thought. News, number four, news media consumption. Cable news, talk radio, online news feeds. Some Christians can become more disciplined by their favorite network than the Word of God. Fasting from news cycles can reset our hearts. If you haven't noticed this, their job is to keep you uncomfortable, to keep you worried, to keep you thinking that the worst is going to happen and that you need to stay tuned into them so that they can be your savior and they can help you and give you all the information. But what you'll notice, and I'm not saying that there's nothing wrong with being aware of what is going on in the world. That's not what I'm saying is go find a hole and stick your head in it. That's not what I'm saying. But if you are glued to the news cycle that repeats all day long, I can almost guarantee you that you have no joy in your life because that's what they're trying to take from you, and that you'll just find yourself being in a depressed state. Oh my goodness, the world's going to end today. No, it's not going to end today, but they've done a good job by making you believe it. And unplugging from that can give, maybe let a little bit of your joy, a little bit of your peace come back in your life. It's just something to think about. But I'll testify, it worked in mine. When I quit looking at it multiple times a day, I became a lot more happier and a peaceful person. Number five, shopping/consumerism. Is that a problem in our world today? Online shopping, Amazon browsing, impulse buying. Amazon got it down, don't they? One click, we got your credit card number, we got your address, just click the button and it'll be there in 2 days or less. You have that little brown box. Who knows your delivery guy by first name now? You ain't got to say that. You ain't got to say that. Setting aside not only saves time and money, but it also exposes where we're seeking our fulfillment. There's a little bit of something that goes in our brain when we click and we know that in 2 days we're going to get that little something that we've been wanting, right? It gives like a little dopamine hit. Amen? And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with buying something that you like. That's not where I'm going with this. But if that's where you're going to find your fulfillment constantly, that may be a problem. And unplugging from that can allow us to reunite and reconfigure where we should be getting our fulfillment every day. Amen? Whether you fast from food, from screens, from media, or shopping, if it frees you and allows you to focus on God, then I would say it pleases Him. A deeper, and our reward on this private fast is a deeper intimacy with the Father who sees us in secret. A deeper intimacy, a deeper relationship. Whether complete, partial, corporate, or private, faithful fasting pleases God when it is directed towards Him out of a right motive and a right heart and not towards man and his praise. I'll leave you with this. We talked about it a long time. I don't want you to get worried if you're working through this for the first time. Don't get worried so much of which one should I choose? Is this the right one for me or whatever? Just pray about it and ask God, which one do you most need to apply to your life so that that intimacy can return? The method may differ, but the purpose must remain, seeking God with sincerity. And here's the promise. Here's our motive. Your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. The faithful examples remind us that whatever the method, the purpose must remain to seek God with sincerity. Fasting that pleases God, we've made it full circle. Joel 2:12 says this, "Yet even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, weeping, and mourning." Fasting has always been a way for God's people to humble themselves and turn to Him when life feels desperate and broken. I miraculously graduated nursing school. Who said amen? Yeah. You've been there. That's a testimony right there, preach. So I made it through. When you graduate nursing school, the state of Alabama will give you what is called a temporary nursing license. You can go and practice for a temporary amount of time. Well, I was ready to start getting paid for some of the punishment that I had went through. So I went to UAB and I got me a job and I gave them that temporary license and I went to work and I was working for a nurse's pay and I was doing nursing duties just like I was the real deal. Well, I delayed that NCLEX test because that's the state board test and it doesn't matter. You can make A's all the way through nursing school, but if you don't pass that NCLEX, guess what? You ain't gonna work. So I delayed and delayed and delayed because I wasn't real confident about it, just to be honest with you. And when I took it, I was even less confident. But you had to wait back then. You got to remember where we're at today. We are instant on everything. Back then, you didn't just get your test results right then. You had to wait a couple of weeks. And after I took that test, I was thankful that I had to wait on snail mail to let me know whether I had passed or failed that test. Well, just like I thought was going to happen, when I got the snail mail, it said, "We regret to inform you, Mr. Rimmerman, but you did not pass the NCLEX test." Well, that changes some things. So I had to go to work the next day, and I had to tell them, "Well, I'm not really a nurse. My temporary license is now void because I've taken the test and I failed it." Thankfully, the department that I worked in was surgery, and so they just demoted me to a surgical technician. You can be a surgical technician and not be a nurse. That's kind of a training deal. But when they demote you, they also take half your salary and other things. Well, I wasn't happy about any of those things. I said, "Well, I forget how long it is, 6 weeks or something like that. You can take it again." Well, I signed up. As soon as that bad boy was available for taking, I took it again. I bombed it again. I think I got 10 more questions that time, but it was still pitiful. I was not living for the Lord at that time. I was a believer. But I had heard about fasting and praying. And I wasn't doing no fasting and very little praying at that point in my life. But I remember hearing that. I started praying. And I told the Lord, I said, "I've never fasted before, but I really need you. We're 0-2, baby. We are swinging and missing on this NCLEX thing. And I need your help." Because, I mean, really, I was thinking, if I take this thing again, I'm going to have to pick up a hammer or a shovel or something like that and go in another direction. So I fasted, and I prayed, and I prayed, and I prayed, and I prayed. And when I took that thing the third time, guess what happened? I passed it. Now, I'm not saying, you know, I don't preach prosperity gospel. And I'm not saying if you fast, God will give you anything you wanted. But I'm confident, and I stand here today telling you confident, that it played a part in God answering that prayer for me. I've believed in fasting ever since that day, 2005. I still remember it. And here's what I want to ask you. Is fasting the missing link to secure or to get an answer about something that's missing in your life? Appropriate, right heart, right motive fasting. Jeffrey, you and the team can come up. At minimum, what Jesus has taught us today is don't fast to look spiritual. Don't fast to get the attention of other human beings, but rather to fast with humility, with sincerity, and with faith. And one more time, because I think it's a sweet sound, we must not forget the promise that Jesus gave us. Your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. The applause of people fades quickly. Amen? But the rewards of God last forever. As we sing our last song of worship, I'll be down front. If you have any need, the altar's open. I would just encourage you to lift your voices, lift your praises to God and thanksgiving. And if there's anything that I can do for you, just know that I'm here. I'd love to help you if there's any way. But if you would, please stand as we sing our last song.